Tomorrow night, Seattle's Intiman Theater opens a new production of Tony Kushner's Pulitzer Prize-winning play, Angels in America. It's almost impossible to synopsize this seven-hour, two-part drama. Kushner set the plays in 1985, just as the AIDS crisis is hitting America. He subtitled it A Gay Fantasia on American Themes, and the epic focuses on a bevy of issues and characters, both fictional and historic. In this scene from the 2003 HBO adaptation of the play, Al Pacino plays real-life attorney Roy Cohn, a confidant of FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover. Tony Kushner imagined Cohn in his doctor's office just after he received an AIDS diagnosis.
So sad.
Say what?
Say, Roy Cohn, you are a...
Roy.
You are a... Come on. Not Roy Cohn, you are a drug fiend. Roy Marcus Cohn, you are a... Go on, Henry, it starts with an H.
Oh, I'm not gonna get into...
With an H, Henry, and it isn't hemophiliac. Come on!
Why are you doing this, Roy?
No, I mean it. Say it. Say, Roy Cohn. You are a homosexual.
Earlier this year, Tony Kushner told me no single event or idea or issue inspired his play.
A few years before, I think in 1985 or 86, a friend of mine had died of AIDS. I was a dancer, and I'd had a dream of an angel crashing through his bedroom ceiling while he was in his bed in pajamas after I'd heard that he had died. And, you know, it was a time of terrible crisis for the LGBT community because of the epidemic. It was a time of great political crisis because of the sort of entrenching of the Reagan counter-revolution, which turned out to not be a fluke, but something that was really going to, that had really gained purchase in the American political soul and was going to be around and was doing massive damage to American democracy, as far as I was concerned. All that was building up.
Has the unit, the whole of it, been in constant production since then?
Yeah, it's been done all over the world. It basically played in the United States sort of continuously in regional theaters and the national tour, which was very successful all the way through the 90s. And then something started to happen in the mid to late 90s that I hadn't foreseen at all, which is that it began to have a real life on college campuses and to be a play that people like to teach a lot. And it's had this kind of incredible life, now even in high schools. At first I was sort of shocked that high school students would be reading the play because it's not written for high school students, and I'm not about the gay stuff, but just about sex in general. I grew up in the Deep South, and we just didn't talk about that in high school. We did it, but we didn't talk about it, at least not in class.
When you see productions, if you go to these, do you see it as a historical record? Do you see it as a living piece of theater? Do things seem dated in it?
The play was never written to be a record of the AIDS epidemic. It was never written to be a record of the Reagan administration. It was never written to be, you know, an artifact of either of those things. It was written to be a drama. And I think that if it has a life, and it seems to have a life, it'll have that life as a work of dramatic fiction. I've always known that about it. I mean, there are people for whom the political aspect of it, or the sort of biomedical / political aspect of it, played such an enormous part in their initial experience of the play that it's essentially inseparable in their minds from a particular social concern, from the AIDS epidemic.
That's playwright Tony Kushner. I spoke with him earlier this year from Town Hall, Seattle. Here's another clip from the HBO adaptation of his award-winning play, Angels in America. In this scene, young Republican Mormon Joe Pitt calls his mom from a payphone in Central Park. Joe is conflicted about his sexual identity. He's in Central Park, and his mom is listening to him at her home in Utah.
Mom, did Dad love me?
What?
Did he?
You have to go home now and call me from there.
No answer.
Oh, really? This is maudlin.
I don't like this conversation.
Yeah, well, it gets worse from here on.
Joe?
Mom? Mama? I'm a homosexual, Mama. Boy, did that come out awkward.
That was a scene from the 2003 HBO adaptation of Tony Kushner's award-winning Angels in America. I spoke to Tony Kushner earlier this year. I was curious to find out what long-term visions he had for his epic drama.
I hope that it'll continue to move people, and all I can do is write and then let that happen as it happens.
There seems to be this remove, or at least there's a mass of Americans that view art as suspect, view the expression of anything, whether it's about a woman's choice for her future or a Mormon boy's struggle for his sexual identity or whatever it is. There's something suspect when it's in a piece of art, when it's embodied in a piece of art. Is that a peculiarly American attitude?
No, I mean, it, you know, famously goes back to Plato's Republic when he says, you know, if you want a perfect state, don't let the poets in because they lie. You know, there's an absolute stink of inauthenticity about all art, really, but absolutely about theater. And in fact, it is what we mean when we talk about theater. It isn't trustworthy. And we think it's sinister in a way. We see things that we know are false, and we give ourselves over to them completely. It lies to us, and it seduces us. And so we're skeptical of it. And I think all of art has that power. But what we need to do is grow up. I mean, it's what the great joke at the end of Midsummer Night's Dream with the mechanicals is that they perform the tragedy of Pyramus and Thisbe, but they can't quite understand that the people watching them are going to understand that they're not the thing itself. Because if they're saying that they're a lion and a bush and a moon, that's what they are. And they're afraid of even showing these terrible things because it'll make the ladies faint and so on. We're not supposed to be those people. We're not Bottom the Weaver. We understand that art gives you an incredibly powerful experience that you absolutely must bring a critical consciousness to and a questioning mind. And in fact, it doesn't work as art if you are simply its passive victim, if it just comes in and sort of mauls you and licks your face and does funny things to you and messes up your clothing and then runs away and you haven't resisted it at all. There's a skepticism about art because it's not, doesn't have an immediate cash value. And when it does have a cash value, why is a certain painting really valuable, especially if it's abstract and my kid could do it and so on. And if play was really all that good, why can't it just sell a lot of tickets? And, you know, how could it be a good play? Or if it's an old play that nobody wants to see, then who cares that nobody gets to see it ever? When you just say to people, here's a list of government agencies, which do you really think are good? The NEA, the idea that there's a National Endowment of the Arts, even more than the National Endowment of the Humanities, is usually ranked fairly high. People kind of like the idea of it, along with the post office, I think. I mean, it's like a positive thing that government does. I don't think that it's an indifference to art that is really the problem. I think that there is always going to be a certain degree of distrust, and I think the distrust is actually good. But I think people want it. They need it. They find it. I think that people are always going to prefer going to watch something on a computer screen or a television or even a movie theater to theater because I think theater is harder to be in the presence of. It's much riskier. It's much less reliable.
Tony Kushner, Intimont's new Seattle production of the first part of Kushner's award-winning play, Angels in America, opens tomorrow night at the Playhouse at Seattle Center. Second part of the drama opens next month. I'm Marcy Silman, and you're with The Record.